Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpucha, the family with the Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar, all the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. Well, what happens when you're a Baptist minister? You have a love for God. You have a love for people. You get involved in prison ministry. You're doing it some 20 years. You've had thousands of salvations. You've been in over 700 prisons. And you see the same people getting out of prison and then coming back all the time. There's got to be something more. Were you getting frustrated, Don Dickerman? And Don, by the way, I'm speaking to at his home in Bedford, Texas. Don, were you getting frustrated, or did you just figure that's the way it is?
I think a little bit of both. And, frustrated more so as the years went by, and as you said, I would see the same people who I had seen in chapel services and felt like were genuinely born again, get out of prison and not be able to make it on the outside. And I think I was trying to apply the verse of scripture that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation, and old things are passed away, all things are become new. And that's not what I was seeing.
And of course, you were also taught, I mean, on the plus side, you were given a wonderful background in the Word of God.
Right.
But on the negative side, you were taught that the gifts of the Spirit are not for today. And so you were almost like in a fight with one arm tied behind your back.
That's true. I don't know. My seminary and church training wasn't so much that the gifts weren't available, but they certainly didn't talk about them. It was a problem because I was seeing things that I knew had a spiritual meaning and had a spiritual answer, but I didn't know how to apply it, and I didn't. That part was frustrating.
There was a turning point in your life, and it was in Galveston, Texas. You were taking kind of a break, and you were sobbing in your bed. Why were you sobbing?
Well, for the reason we just talked about, I would see so many people return to prison, and I felt like, in some respect, that I wasn't being effective. In another respect, that the gospel was not being effective, and that troubled me. And I remember crawling up in a motel bed and just weeping, and my prayer was pretty much, God, why can't I be a deliverer? Why can't I get people out of bondage? And I don't think I knew exactly what I was praying and asking for. But it was that kind of prayer, is, what am I missing? And it wasn't long after that I had an experience while preaching in a prison, in a federal prison, in Three Rivers, Texas. And there was an officer, this is really unusual. I've preached in 850 or more different prisons, and the experiences are pretty much the same. Inmates come to church, and they know they have problems. But in this particular evangelistic service, there was an officer seated in the chapel with the men, and that's very unusual, never seen it before. And he was worshiping with them. And when the service was over, he motioned to the officer that was on duty, and he said, I'll walk him to his car. I want to talk to him. So we walked across the grounds of that prison on a beautiful night. He said, I need to tell you something, and I'm going to shorten this story a little bit, but he actually followed me as I was going back to Corpus Christi, where I was staying on this particular trip. And as I was about to get on the Interstate 37, I pulled up a little grocery store service station, and he pulled up right behind me, and he came up to the car window. He was just bouncing with excitement, and he said, Brother, I need to tell you something. He said, while you were preaching tonight, I had a vision. And he said, I saw you standing in a big black pot, and he was describing it with his hands. And he said, in this pot, there was oil, bubbling all around you. So not boiling, it was just bubbling. And all around this pot, he said, as far as you could see, there was just like a sea of people. And the stench from their sickness was nauseating as it went up into the heavens. He said that oil began to bubble up. And as it ran off of your head, down your arms, and touched the people, said the people were healed. And he said, get ready, brother. God's fixing to pour it out on you. Well, that's even hard for me to talk about now.
Now, had anyone ever given you a vision before? Had you ever had a vision?
No, that was my first experience.
That was off your grid, though. So did you immediately reject it?
No, I knew. I knew it was the Holy Spirit. And I knew it was something I'd been longing for. I wanted to see people healed. I didn't know how to make it happen. But I remember driving back to Corpus. I couldn't keep tears out of my eyes. And my prayer was, God, I don't know how to do this. But there was an assurance that came, you just keep doing what you're doing. Preach the gospel. And what happened, it started happening. People began to be healed in our services. And I wouldn't do anything but preach like I always had. And I would start getting letters from inmates telling me, I know you don't know this, but while you were preaching, heat came all over me. And
well, what would you think when people are saying heat comes all over them and they're getting healed, and all you're doing is speaking? You weren't praying for the sick, were you?
No, not. I was just preaching, but it was with an anointing I'd not really known before. I knew something was happening, and it was overwhelming to me. I knew it was the Holy Spirit, and I knew I hadn't done anything, to make it happen. But with it came a boldness that as the services would go by and I would get these kind of reports, I began to walk in that and speak toward that happening. I believed it was going to happen. And, I think since that night, I can say that there's not been a service anywhere that we've had, in prison or out, where someone hasn't experienced healing. And, as it progressed, I knew it was the Holy Spirit. I was so hungry for putting this in context with what I had been taught and what I had never experienced. But I began to see inmates come at the altar call, and as I would pray for them, they would fall, sometimes even when I got close to them. And that's what I had a difficult time with, is I didn't know what that was. I knew about, the things that happened in God's Word and how the soldiers fell back, and I understood those things. But I knew I wasn't doing anything to make it happen. And it was overwhelming. Sometimes I would leave the services, and I'd just have to pull over to the side of the road and weep with thanksgiving. And so, and then some of the frustrating part of that was coming back to the churches and knowing it wasn't going to happen. Sitting in the congregation and saying, that's not going to happen here today.
Don, many people have a healing ministry. And I understand exactly what you're saying, and even the frustration of what you're saying. But there are few people that have such a practical, balanced deliverance ministry. How did you happen to get into deliverance?
Sometimes I say God tricked me into that.
I would think he had to.
Because, I wasn't looking for it, but in the prison experience, I did have many, many guys come to me and say, look, I know I have demons. Can you help me? And I didn't really know what to do with that, but I knew it was real. I knew what Jesus said. And I was in a prison in Canada, a women's prison in Kingston, Ontario, Canada. My wife was with me, and a lady came up to me at the altar call, and she said, I have demons, and I know you can help me. I know you understand. That was my first experience. And I had met a man, Bruce Jenkins, who still has an active deliverance ministry up in Michigan, right outside of Lansing. I had met him, and we had talked. And so I told this girl, I said, you know, I know someone who does deliverance. And if we'll, you know, you maintain contact with me, we'll minister through the mail and so on. I'll get Reverend Jenkins to come up here, and we'll meet and take you through deliverance. Well, that's a hard process to even get that arranged in a prison, but we did. And what happened is Reverend Jenkins wasn't able to make it. He didn't show up. And I was there, and she was ready for deliverance. And so I kind of took a step of faith, and I remember praying, God, I know what the Word says. I know what Jesus did. And so we met in a private room in the prison.
I'll tell you what, hold that thought right there. And I see how God tricked you into a deliverance ministry. But the truth of the matter is, there are so many people with problems. They've prayed and prayed and prayed and never had any answers. And that's because there's doors that give legal access to the demonic. You have written the simplest book on deliverance, which has that oil you talked about from that vision splashed all over it, where someone can have self-deliverance or pray for others. It's called When Pigs Move In, and a special bonus CD is included with teaching on deliverance and such an anointed prayer to set you free, all for a donation of $25.
For he himself is our peace,
who has made both Jew
and Gentile into one,
and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall.
His purpose was to create in himself
one new man.
Sid Roth has found the key to worldwide revival. This is God's time to reach the Jewish people with his love. Messiah Jesus has torn down the wall dividing Jew and Gentile. The two together form one new man to reach the world. God's method to reach the Jewish people is through signs and wonders. This is why our website, sidroth.org, is jam-packed with tools to equip you to move in signs and wonders, understand Israel and the Jewish roots of the church. Log on to sidroth.org today.
If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalutzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or our archives, or subscribe to our radio and TV podcasts, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.